Say, don't lie and you won't fry. What an awesome job this worship team has done. Will someone clap their hands? Amen. Imagine, if you will, a mirror that reflects back the clear, once pristine, complete image of who you are. Time, though, it stands still for no one, and neither is a respecter of person or events. And that mirror becomes an enemy more than a friend. With one sweeping motion, the mirror is now across the room with you standing there wondering, how much more can you take? How much more trauma can one be expected to bear? The reflection now in that broken mirror matches the brokenness that you might even feel inside today. Each crack, each shard is a stark reminder of that pain that you feel inside. The inner turmoil is real, broken, fragmented, incomplete. That's you, that's me, that is us. Can someone say amen? For many of us, the metaphor of the shattered glass does have a way of resonating deep within us. It is a representation of our struggles with trauma, depression, and anxieties. The mirror that once reflected wholeness, an image of oneness, it lies in pieces, pieces that remind us of our pain and even our past. And there we are, being forced to grapple with the emotions and the experiences that seem too heavy to bear, too complex to understand, too painful to articulate. And this is something that you and I, we have to deal with every single day. Can somebody say amen? How many know what I'm talking about? You have to deal with life every single day, and life isn't always fair. Trauma, you see, it comes in many forms. Most counselors state that there are at least three different types of trauma. Emotional trauma, that is the feeling of traumatic events. It is characterized by feeling unsafe in one's body. Emotional trauma can alter our brain function and lead to an overarching sense of hopelessness. There's the complex trauma, which is a series of traumatic events that can have a lasting impact. It just is just so complex. It's one thing upon another thing upon another thing. Has anybody ever felt something like that? It's just one thing after one thing after one thing after one thing. There's secondary trauma, also known as a vicarious trauma. It's secondary trauma. It refers to being a witness to trauma. Witnessing a traumatic event can impact your emotional health and is deserving of support, empathy, and compassion. You see, many of us have faced a traumatic moment, haunted by the memories of the past, things done to you that was not even your fault, robbed of the innocence of your childhood. There's the pain inflicted by others, leaving scars that run deeper than any one of us would care to admit. It's their emotional roller coaster of not feeling like you belong. Hear me today, because mom and dad just couldn't get along. You have two rooms in two different houses, but you have no idea how you fit into that equation. The abuse made the nights longer, and it seemed like nobody could hear your cry in the midnight hour. Others, well, hear me today. You might know of one or have experienced the struggle yourself. It's the daily fight of dealing with an addiction. And I must add, addiction is more than a needle or what can be smoked. It can be the addiction to the playful yet seductive banter of the opposite sex that is not your spouse found around the work. Can you clap your hands and say amen? It's addiction to self, addiction to lust, addicted to gratification of any sort. All of it not only makes you hate yourself, but there's times it makes you feel like there's no way out. It is a traumatic situation. There are those that have to deal with this trauma of their health. The sickness that you have to deal with every single day leaves you to wear a facade of strength, forcing a smile to answer the simple question of how are you? And you dread it because you really want to tell them how you feel. But, you know, nobody really wants to know how you're doing. Can someone say amen? Truth is, you're not okay. Look at somebody and say, I'm not okay. Turn around and smile at somebody and say, I'm really not okay. Some of you really aren't okay, are you? I'm a work in progress. That's what I am. Truth is, though, when somebody is dealing with a traumatic experience of their health, they are asked that, how are you feeling? They're frustrated because their mind says they can do something, but their body is trapped and held hostage by a disease. There is a common thread that runs deep. The sense of hurt is profound. It's one traumatic experience after another. It's one thing compounded upon another thing, upon another thing, upon another thing. But I'm going to give us hope today. Psalms 34 and 18 says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and have... God is right near you today, that if your heart is broken, dealing with trauma, God is right near you. Would you shout hallelujah? One translation reads, if your heart is broken, you'll find God right there. If you're kicked in the gut, he'll help you catch your breath. I'm thankful today that in my brokenness, God's right there. He's not turned aside by my personal chaos or my crises. He's right beside me in my trauma. Everybody shout trauma. Isaiah 59 and 1 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Hear me today. God hears you. Yes. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5 reads, surely he hath borne our griefs, our anxieties, our calamities, our maladies, and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. That is talking about Jesus. We sang about Jesus. Would you just shout the name Jesus? Shout the name Jesus. Clap your hands and say hallelujah. You see, Jesus was no stranger to traumatic events. He was no stranger to talking with people who have had to navigate the murky waters of the emotional moments, of the ups and downs, the roller coaster of whether or not I'm here or I'm not there. God knows. Hear me today. God knows. That's why he said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Casting all, Peter said, all your care upon him because he takes interest in you. I like how it really reads. It says, throwing all of your anxieties on him because God takes interest in you. God's interested in you. God is interested in me. He understands. He wants to heal our trauma today. He wants to mend the brokenhearted today. Psalm 147:2, the Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathered together the outcasts, those that have been violently pushed out. He heals, he mends by stitching back together the broken in heart, and he bindeth up their wounds. Even when Jesus was crucified, everything had a purpose, everything had a plan. He took stripes, the Bible says, on his back for our healing. His blood flowed to cover our sicknesses. And when they put that crown of thorns on his head, the blood flowed down through the sides of his head, showing that not only did the stripes come to heal your infirmities, but the crown of thorns was meant to heal your mind and my mind. I'm telling us today, God wants to deal with healing your trauma and my trauma. So yes, he received the stripes, Bible says it, to heal us from our sicknesses and infirmities. But that crown of thorns, I thought it was just one other thing, one other object that they could put upon Jesus called the Christ to make him feel a little bit lesser than human. But no, the crown of thorns represents not just because they were making fun of him, saying, Lord, look, you're the Christ, you're the Savior, you're the King, here's your new crown. But no, that crown of thorns was crushed on his head because that blood flowed over his ears, through his eyes, over. He wants to heal what's been bothering you every single day. He wants to heal you today. If you've heard things, God wants to heal you. If you've been talked about, God wants to heal you. If you've seen things, God wants to heal you. Somebody clap your hands and shout Jesus. Shout Jesus. According to the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, they state that trauma is an event you experience as harmful or life-threatening. It has lasting adverse effects on your mental, your physical, emotional, social, and even spiritual well-being. They state that trauma is associated with various health conditions, including depression. How many wants to be real today? How many's ever dealt with something like that? Just, yeah. Depression. It's characterized by a lack of energy and feelings of worthlessness. Among other symptoms, depression is a common response to trauma. So we can't go and poke fun and say, oh, look at them. They're depressed again. When you don't know the trauma that they've been going through. Hear me. I'm telling us today that Jesus wants to heal you of that trauma in your life. State Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration states that there are other things that happens in the body, and it's anxiety disorders. Symptoms of anxiety, it's a feeling of dread and panic. It's not just one moment. It's not getting anxious over, you know, whether or not you're going to pass the test. It's not feeling anxious as if it's your first day on the job, but more it's like this. Every single moment you feel like, am I going to freeze, fight, or flight? All the time. Hitting all cylinders just all the time. They state that it is caused by trauma. Symptoms of trauma can be both emotional and physical and include feelings of fear, helplessness, guilt, mood swings, behavior changes, difficulty sleeping, confusion, increased heart rate, and body aches and pains. They state this, that psychological symptoms of an emotional trauma is this. It can bring in a combination of things of fear, helplessness, changes in attention, concentration, and memory retrieval. Changes in behavior, your attitude, because of some trauma that may have happened in your life that you're not really aware of. You put it, or you've buried it somewhere behind you because you don't want to talk about it any longer. Come on, somebody. I'm talking to us. Are we going to be real in the house of God today? Somebody shout amen. They say that one of the responses that we have is anger, avoidance, it's mood swings. Yeah. It's guilt or shame. It's blame, including self-blame. Oh, it's my fault. I deserve this. That's why so many people that are in an abusive relationship, they go from one to the next abusive relationship, because that's all they knew. They grew up in that, and that's what they think is normal. And so it's one thing after another, and they're blaming themselves. They're saying, well, it's my fault. I shouldn't have said that. If I hadn't said that, they wouldn't have gotten so mad at me. It's me. I deserve that. Hear me, that's trauma right there. But God wants to heal that today. God wants to deal with that today. Today. Whatever needs you have today can be your moment to feel God's love wrap around you. There's that social withdrawal, the loss of interest in activities, emotional numbness. It's, you know, they withdraw from things that once was enjoyable. And we thought they were just being lazy. No. There's something going on beyond the surface. Beyond the facade of the smile. Beyond the nice cut of their clothes. Beyond all of that. Behind that. If you were to peel it back deep down inside. Hear me clearly today. There is something going on, and you just don't know what to do. You've come to the right place. You have come to the right place. I just feel like telling someone today that if you're dealing with a traumatic moment, secretly suffering, hear me today. You are not alone. You are not alone. You are not alone. Psalms 103:13, as the Father shows compassion to His children, so the Lord shows compassion to those that fear Him. For He knows our frame. He knows our intentions. He knows our emotions. He remembers that we are dust. God knows how much you can handle. Huh? God knows it. Verse 15, as for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. God knows and understands the frailty of life. He does. For the wind passes over and then that flower is just dispersed. The wind passes over and the grass is dispersed. It's gone and it's a place that knows it no more. Verse 17, though. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. His love, that shows me right there, His love knows no boundaries. Aren't you thankful that we have a Heavenly Father that knows where we are? He understands that we are but dust. He understands the frailty of life. He understands misunderstandings. He understands disappointments. He understands the very hurt you and I feel. And hear me today, His love knows no boundaries. Clap your hands and shout hallelujah. See, the story starts with David. He came into a kingdom, really not by his own rights, or certainly not by birth. Technically, the kingdom belonged to Saul and Saul's offspring, Jonathan. Jonathan was the next appointed heir to the throne. And of course, we know that God had a plan, because He works all things for our good. He takes the bad, because we all face it. He takes the traumatic experiences and He says, you know what? I don't want that to happen. That's happened because it's the frailty of life. It's the sin of the fallen man and fallen choices. But I'm going to take that and I'm going to weave that into something that I can use for my glory. Saul and Jonathan were murdered in a battle, but then we find David now. He is the sitting and reigning king. He's sitting on a throne that he wasn't groomed for. He was experiencing a power he never experienced before. He's on the inside of the palace, but the technical blood heir is on the outside. David's walking around this palace and he's remembering a covenant with his friend, his best friend, his great friend. And it was Jonathan, the son of Saul, the rightful heir to the throne. And here he's saying this. He said, I remember, I promised Jonathan that the moment if something were to ever happen to him and the moment I get into the throne room, here's what I got to do. I've got to take care of him and his offspring, as well as if something happens to me, he'll make sure my family's okay, that they're in a safe place. Aren't you thankful today that you're in a safe place? He says this, is there not a son of Jonathan's that I can show love and kindness to? He's wanting to know whether or not Jonathan had some children, because his promise, his covenant with him was, I will take care and you will take care of me. It's in the back room of one of those servants decided to speak up. He gathered enough courage to do so and he said, I do believe that I've heard that there is one son who is left, but he's not who you think he is. He's not what you think he is. He's not even where you would think he is. He is considered a man with royal bloodlines to be, but he's in this place called Lodabar. Everybody say Lodabar. See, Lodabar means this. It's a place of no communication, a place of no green pastures. Matter of fact, some theologians, some scholars state that Lodabar was like a rundown town out in no man's land. It's more like the slums. It's like living way over on the other side of the tracks where, you know, you run through the stop signs. You don't stop at them. See, Mephibosheth was living not in a palace, but in a place where no one would think he was. Nobody would look for him. Nobody would hunt him down. No enemy of his father would ever come after him. Amen. For seeking out revenge. Mephibosheth was living in a place where nobody would think to listen, to think, to speak, to find him. He was hidden away in Lodabar, a place where no one would hear his cry or his case. You see, here's something you'll find interesting, maybe, or not interesting, but you know how it is. When someone is dealing with trauma, they feel alone. Come on, somebody. Feel all alone. It's not uncommon to feel like no one understands you. No one understands where you're coming from. You have no voice. You're a victim of it, and maybe so, and probably so. But I want to tell you something here today. In this very room, you are not alone. You're in a safe place. God hears your voice. God knows where you're at. Mephibosheth was one broken individual. You see, he was the designated heir to the throne. He was the next in line to sit in that kingdom. He was the rightful heir to be eating at that table. He was the one who should have had the people's respect. And yet, we find him living in a place that's kind of like the slums of that area. It was out in no man's land. I'd tell you of a town I'm thinking of in this region, but I'll probably offend you, but I lived there and I felt this way. It was Kunkel, Ohio. I know, I made some of you mad. You're like, that's where I'm from. I don't even know. You live in Kunkel, there ain't nothing there. You ain't know about Kunkel. The only thing Kunkel's known for is that gas station that's no longer there and the parade. July 4th parade. I was told, man, there's a parade that happens in Kunkel. I said, where do they go? Just around. Who can get in it? Anybody. I'm like, what's it do? Oh, it lasts for hours. This is what I'm told. And I lived there. And I told my wife, this is like being put in an island. And all I wanted to shout was, Wilson. Now, if I offended you, forgive me. You'll get over it. There's an altar. But here he was in Lodabar. Not because he made bad decisions, not because he was careless of who he was. He was there. He was there because a person who was caring for him, the Bible says, dropped him. When he was at the vulnerable age of 5 years old, when he needed the help of somebody, there was, the Bible says, a nurse gathered up the strength that while they were fleeing from what they thought would be the adversaries, the Philistines of Saul and Jonathan, while they were fleeing, and she wanted to save that royal bloodline just in case they would ever get back to the throne, and just in case this young boy could actually be the king. And so she picks him up, but in her haste, she drops him. How many's ever felt like you've been dropped? No, not physically. Some are thinking, I know a person or two that's been dropped on their head. I know of one that's been born and dropped on their head. Micah's saying, that's my brother. I'm not talking about a physical way of being dropped, but I'm talking mentally, emotionally. You entrusted somebody with your feelings, and they just let you down. You entrusted somebody with your emotions, your heart, your thoughts, your plans, your dreams, and they just let you down. Oh, the trauma this young man had to feel, felt. It wasn't traumatic enough to lose his grandfather, but now his ability to move about freely was robbed from him. He was, the Bible says that he was paralyzed by his feet. Had this not have happened, this young man would have certainly been viewed as the next king. He probably would have been the well-respected and fearless man. He was the son of Jonathan. But here we find young Mephibosheth, paralyzed, broken, depressed, unkept, and staying in a place where nobody could hear him, nobody would find him, nobody would understand him. And at 5 years old, he was dropped. Think with me for a moment now. A young boy, he just lost his father. He lost his grandfather. And most scholars even state that he lost his mother as well. That's pretty traumatic for a five-year-old child to have to endure. Think with me today, this boy losing it all, even his physical ability, living in a place where he was of no importance, paralyzed because of something that happened to him, and it wasn't his fault. And hear me today, every last one of us have a moment in our lives where we could say, that was a Mephibosheth moment in my personal world. Some would say amen. No, we're maybe not physically challenged in any manner, but we can relate to that place where we feel all alone and nobody cares. It's traumatic. And here we find Mephibosheth, his disability separated him from his inheritance. But he could have been the next king of Israel, but his disability caused him to be hidden away in secret, all alone, and nobody could hear his cry. Everybody say it. He was traumatized. Again, the story goes, though. David asks, so tell me about Jonathan's boy. They started talking to him and said, well, he's down in Lodabar. He's being cared for by a name of Machir. He's living with Machir in Lodabar. And we already established the fact that Lodabar is a place that, you know, doesn't look right, doesn't smell right. I mean, cockroaches are riding dirt bikes. You know, food is scarce. Come by, it's a little ran down. Sparse grass anywhere else. And you could yell, you could do, you could be, you could say, and nobody would even care. But they said, that's Lodabar. And we understand that Mephibosheth, he had royal blood flowing through his vein, yet at the same token, although he had that, he wasn't doing or being what he was meant to do because, watch this, he was a broken individual. Lost grandfather, lost father, lost mother, lost friends, lost family. He was dropped, and it wasn't his fault. And then now let's add in this next character named Makir. It means bartered. It means to do business with. You see, Makir was a deal maker. And we have to understand something. Makir ended up being a little broken and worn down himself. He was a little traumatized. Now, I feel like just maybe he was holding on to Mephibosheth. It was his ace in the pocket because he thought, man, if I ever tell somebody if I need more money, if I need to get out of something, if I make a bad deal, I can always barter my way out because I know where royal blood is sitting. I could go and cash in and say, guess what? To my enemy, to the enemy of Saul, there's a boy here that you might want to meet, and it's Jonathan's son, and they'll make a deal with him. See, that was part of the problem. But though he did have a soft spot, you see, he assumed the responsibility of taking care of someone who was unable to help themselves. He took care of a grown man who was lame in both his feet. He had to do it with zero help. Zero assistance, no health home nurse, no WIC, no insurance, zero help. Someone say amen. Makir can't do business like he used to because he can't go out and make a deal. He can't barter. He can't go to garage sales. He can't go junking or, you know, can't go anywhere because he's always being what he felt like held hostage now. And here's why. He was blessed with a big heart. He was blessed because he simply cared about someone or someone else. How many big-hearted people know what I'm talking about? Someone say amen. You see, sometimes when you have a big heart, life isn't fair to loving people, is it? He's caring for someone who can't give him anything in return. He's helping someone who can't help themselves, let alone pay it back. All day long, Makir would be out working in the market just because he, you know, one man's junk is another man's treasure. Buying and selling. It's kind of like getting on Facebook Market. You go to TJ Maxx and you find, you know, size 16 shoes. Anybody ever go to TJ Maxx or Ross and they have like size 25 shoe? Come on, you know what I'm talking about? Help me out here. I don't know what it is. I go to those stores and I'm always finding the biggest shoes ever. And I'm thinking they're being made for special basketball players. And so then I decide I'm going to try them on just for fun. And then I'm taking pictures. And then I'm sending it to my friends. And, you know, my favorite are like, the triple threat is what I call them. They're like not two straps, but three straps going across. That's the triple threat. You know they're ready for some balling if they put them babies on. But you see, just maybe Makir would go and try to make some deals. He'd buy it low and sell it high. He'd get on Facebook Market, buy it low, sell it high. Someone say amen. After a long, hard day worth of work, though, he has to hear the bell ringing in the back room, and their Makir is there taking care of a grown man. Someone has to move Mephibosheth. Someone has to feed him. Someone has to clothe him. Makir is having to deal with a new reality, and it's affecting his own family. He's having to care for a grown man who the Bible says he had a child as well. Do you know that Mephibosheth had a child? So now Makir, because he's been blessed or cursed with a big heart, he is now having to take care of both the young man that was an heir to the king, to the throne, but now he's having to take care of his all. Now, I know what it's like to take care of children. I've raised three, or I'm raising three. And my wife is raising four. And all you women say amen. Amen. Sister Felicia, do you feel like you're raising more than... Oh, she says. Oh. But could you imagine... I mean, I know how it is to change diapers. I mean, that's pretty rough. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, you want to get me gagging right from the get-go? Show me a picture of a nasty diaper. There's times that my three children had made messes. Don't just look at them because you made a mess. I made a mess too. I heard stories about what I did, what I ate, and I don't want to talk about it when I was a kid. You did some nasty stuff too. But could you imagine having to take care of a grown man and then a grown child simply because you care? There's a little trauma going on. And now that affects the family. It's acts of generosity. I mean, that the family, his wife, had to say, make sure if you hadn't brought him in, if you weren't always trying to make a deal and think about buying low and selling high, if you would have just minded your own business, we wouldn't be in the messes that we're in. And now, here's David. He's walking around and he's wondering, is there anybody I can, from Jonathan, anybody from my covenant that I made that I could change their life? Anybody that I can show kindness to? And the time came that the king had gotten word that somebody he loved was in a place where it seemed to have been forgotten. It was the place where nobody would want to visit. The time came that the king realized there was a child with royal blood flowing through his veins. So the Bible says that he called to Lodabar to make here for Mephibosheth. In the middle of all that mess that Mephibosheth was in, hear me, the king called the one who was broken to sit at his table for the rest of his life. 2 Samuel 9:13. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. Didn't matter to David that this man was considering himself as a dog, lower than others, a nobody, unworthy to be invited to the palace. One traumatic moment after another traumatic moment, Mephibosheth's very existence felt defined by a whole lot of what ifs. What if I didn't do this? What if that didn't happen? What if that hadn't gone on in my life? What if? Everybody say, what if? Watch how Mephibosheth greeted the king. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 6 through 7 says, now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, behold thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not. Mephibosheth calls himself a dog. Because, you see, that's another way how we humans deal with trauma. We feel like we've lost our identity. We're only identified or seen by that traumatic event. We are only identified as the person that. Hear me today. Just like the King David knew the name of the young man, so does the king called Jesus Christ know your name. So does Jesus Christ. We could have the musicians come. Something I want to leave us with here today, and if I could get that last slide. I want to tell you, though, that even though you've dealt with some trauma in your life, even though there's been some experiences in your life that wasn't your fault, if we could stand, I want to let you know today, one, you're not alone. Even though the trauma attempts to define you as you are not alone, wants to kind of say you can't raise your voice, you can't lift your voice, you're a nobody, you shouldn't be heard. You need to go away, because that was what Mephibosheth done to deal with his traumatic experience. He simply was put away and hid away by others, making himself feel like Nobody knows what I'm going through. Nobody knows what I'm facing. Nobody knows the pain I'm dealing with. You're not alone. Look at somebody now and say, you're not alone. You're not alone. You're not alone. I feel the presence of God here right now. Ooh. You feel like nobody hears your voice. In the middle of the night when you're crying out against those very monsters that are in your mind and ravaging your emotions, hear me, you are not alone. You are not alone. Here's another thing I want to leave us with, and that is you are not identified by your trauma. Oh, they're the town drunk. No, 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 no. They got a name. You're going to call them by their name. Mephibosheth, when he came into the presence of the king, he laid down, he knelt down, and he simply said, I am but a dog. I don't belong here. I should be here, here, and here. I should not even be where I'm at. And yet the Bible says that David called him by his name, letting me know that even in our pain and our shame and our trauma, you're not alone and you're not identified by your past mistakes, your past hang-ups, your past failures. And this is something else I found that I love about this story. The Bible says that the king invited him to sit at his table for the rest of his days. You're invited, hear me. You're invited into the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are invited to come into the mighty presence of a holy God. And right now, I feel His presence here. Would you maybe, if you feel appropriate to do it or feel comfortable to do it, would you grab the hand of the person next to you? Would you step out and say, well, I don't really want to. That's okay. Just step out from where you are. See, some, their trauma comes in different ways. Does it look the same? Some have had to live through the traumatic times of which house are they going to choose? Which parent are they going to have to live with? What group will they be identified with? Some's trauma is the loss of a loved one, where we have more questions than we do answers. Why did this person have to be taken from me? And we feel alone now, and our voice will never be heard. There's those that are here today that are dealing with the trauma of addictions, addictions that come in any way, shape, or form. They're not just including of what we think or label as society, whether this addicted or that. No, we can be addicted to any one thing. Some of those addictions we don't want to talk about because the shame. Matter of fact, nobody wants to talk about an addiction because of the shame that it brings. You're in a safe place, though. Some trauma is dealing with this ever-present health problem. It's an emotional health, physical health. You're wondering, nobody understands what I'm going through. Nobody understands the loneliness that I feel, the hurt. They don't see the secrets of my joy being taken from me. My mind says one thing, but my body, no, not today. You see, whatever your trauma is, you're not alone. You're not identified by that trauma. And you've been invited to come into the presence of Jesus Christ. Would you right now lift a hand towards heaven right now as you begin to pray with that person? And if you're alone, don't feel alone. Someone link up with them right now. If we don't want anybody to feel alone in this place right now, you're not alone. Yes, yes. As we begin to sing that song, I want you to right now just put it at Jesus' feet. Jesus, I'm putting it at your feet. I don't understand some things, Lord. I don't understand the pain. I don't understand why I got myself into the situation. Just, you're not alone. Come on, let's begin to pray. God, let's lift our voices.
Yes, I just want to speak the name of Jesus.
Yes. Oh, in the name of the Lord Jesus right now.
Every mind.
We're going to take some moments for praying right now. We got to pray.
I speak Jesus.
Ministry team, right now, would you find somebody to pray with right now? We don't want you to feel alone. If you're part of the body, link up with somebody right now.
Till every dark addiction starts to break.
Yes, in the name of Jesus. Yes, in the name of Jesus, let healing come. Let healing come. Heal my home. Let healing come to my home, oh God. Let healing come to my emotions, Lord. Let healing come to my life, Jesus. It's all right. You're in a safe place. Let healing come to your body. Let healing come to your emotions. It's coming right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus, it's coming.